it takes a lot of breath. But I enjoy singing the song, especially the first verse, because it's so true of Jeb Bush. I know he can save the worst among us, because he saved the worst, right, Beth? What do you think, Jim? Is that right?
That's right.
I always like that part of when he saved the worst among us, when he saved a wretch like me. Always like to just say, that's me, that's me. All right, well, I just thought I'd also do that just to get a little rest. Okay, but I like to sing it the way we do, with gusto. It's really good. The message is good. All right, second verse.
Join the ransom. handsome choir on heaven's bright shore forever to praise the King. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire. My song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roam. Have passed in that wonderful place, my song of praise will just have begun, for my joy will never end while I look on His face, and my song will never. My song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roll. And while the ages roll, I'll keep on praising Him, and my voice will never tire. My song shall ever be, praise the Lamb who died for me, and I'll sing it while ages shall roam, and I'll sing it while ages shall roam.
All right, Brother Steve G., you come. Get your microphone. Yeah, that's it. Get the microphone on. You come preach the word. These people are waiting to hear the word preached. You better give it to them. Amen.
All right, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Pastor Gary. This is a special treat for Debbie and I to be here. I was thinking I would take a break today. Brother Gary and I knew each other back in the 80s. And as I say things like that, I say, you know, I'm just a kid, you know. I mean, I'm one of the youngins. And somehow I got to be 65. I don't know. I mean, we know what happened, right? Years passed. My mother's 95, and so I don't know if I'll make it that long or not, but I say how old I am, and some of them say, yeah, you're a spring chicken. You're just a youngin, you know. Well, back in 87, I went to Kansas, where I'm from originally, and Pastor Gary and I had kept in touch a little bit through a conference, mainly at Pastor Dickerson's there in Elkton, as I would travel back. And so in the process of time, of course, I learned that of a pastor's cancer treatment, and we've been praying for him in our church from the beginning. And we were going to be here. I had preached a series of meetings in Paxton Bible Church north of Harrisburg last week, last Sunday through Wednesday. And one of the things we wanted to do was to stop by and see Brother Gary and Donna and let them know that we're concerned for them and praying for them. Not only Pastor Gary, but Donna as well. I lost my first wife to cancer, and I know that it is not only what the person with illness goes through, but it is also the spouse. And there are some prayer requests here and of varying natures. And let's pray for them. Certainly, I know you will. I know you do that, and the spouse as well. My wife has some illness right now, and we had some restless times last night. And we trust she'll be okay. And she had had Lyme disease years ago, we assume, got pretty good. Now, fungal infection or something, she's got some infection in her body. You know, this world is not the place to live forever.
That's right.
After a while, we get that figured out, right? They say that, someone has said that when we get to heaven, we will wonder why we wanted to be here so bad, you know? So on Thursday, we drove over. We had met yesterday with a man in Beaver Springs in regard to a possible radio station out of our church. And so we had a little time. And so we drove over and stayed overnight on Thursday night. I'm kind of getting the hang of this, being a vagabond, you know, because it worked last night at the same place, you see. So Donna said, well, why don't you stay Thursday night? So we did. So we visited and went out to eat and things. And so I was of a mind to be one of two other places this morning, and none of which involved preaching, because I wasn't really preached out, but I preached quite a bit. And I was going to be okay to listen to somebody else preach, you know. And I really had never heard Brother Gary for many years now, just like you've not heard me. And I enjoyed what he brought in Sunday school. As I know you did, pastor's articulate, isn't he, in the consideration of the scripture. And so it worked out that I would be here. I told Pastor of some messages that I brought there in Paxton. And that was the school where the board members of the church there, where the board members of the school had attended, and I used to work there in youth years ago. And so every once in a while they ask me to come, and we just have a good time in the Lord. And so I'm glad to be able to be here this morning. I appreciate the invitation, appreciate being able to meet and worship with you folk. I had said to Jason too, nice to see him as an adult. The last time I saw, he wasn't quite this big, you know. And that's just the way it goes. And his son, and of course, I don't know. There was one gentleman came and said that he had remembered me from years ago, but it's so good to see you. I told Pastor of some of the messages that I brought, and one of them I mentioned just in passing was about worship. What is worship? And he said, you know, I'd like to have you bring that message. And so, Lord willing, that's what we're going to do this morning. I want to have you, first of all, and this will be free, as the preacher said. This is not part of my message, but Revelation 22, if you would turn there. I've been bringing some things in regard to the thousand-year reign, and my, the Lord is good, and isn't it wonderful to know the Lord? I appreciate your singing and the joy in the Lord that I sense here. And I just trust that that I can be a blessing to you folk as I minister the Word of God. Now, this is something that I would just like to have you think about. And possibly Pastor has gotten to this or will get to this. But I emphasized this last week there in Paxton, Revelation 22, verse 11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, Let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. I have in my Bible this little heading, fixation of character. And I use this in one of the messages. I think it was Sunday school when I started out there the other a week ago. And I just encouraged the folk, and I encourage you today, we're on the winning side. And this is going to get good. We have a front row seat of some very interesting things that are happening in every regard. Well, but the thing of it is, God's watching and working, and this whole thing with dispensational truth and all the direction that he's going. He is setting a time when the people that want to be holy, they can be holy still. And the people who want to be filthy, they can be filthy still. You know, there is a pleasure of sin for a season. Am I right? And that means that it's kind of fun for a while, a little bit. Isn't that sad and wicked? And the crazy thing is, we'll fall for it again. You know? But folk, how about if you could never? You know, after a while, sin makes you sick. Am I right? Isn't it wonderful that sin makes you sick after a while? You know, whether it's lust or greed, it doesn't matter after a while. But in the Lord, we can get away from it. That is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from, we can get away from it as a believer. But what if you were not saved and you had to be filthy still for all eternity? So folk, we're on the winning side. And all these ones that are defying God and in government in every regard, hate crimes and all these things, you know. Well, they're not going to get away with it, you know. And that's an encouragement to me because I'd like to do something to somebody, you know. And it's not in my place nor in my power. But we read here, the Lord, he's got it under control. He knows who they are and when it's going to happen. Well, that's not my message, but I just wanted to have you turn there. Because I tell you, Pastor Dickerson, that Pastor and I both know, and he's retired now, but he would say something, and I appreciated this. He would say the future is just as bright as the promises of God. Pastor, you maybe have said that here. That's how bright the future is. I mean, the taxes can't get too high or the Democrats, Republicans can't get too corrupt. To overcome that, the future is just as bright as the promises of God. And it's going to get wonderful. And it is wonderful now as we look into the scripture and have God's help. All we have to do is to trust and obey and try to walk with the Lord. Confess our sin, walk with him. And, I mean, even if they kill us, be immediately in the presence of the Lord. The old devil just can't win. He can't win. He's not going to win. And if we'll be on God's side, we'll win. We'll win, won't we? John chapter 4. Pastor asked if I would bring a message that I brought out there on worship. And I'm going to read verses 23 and 24, and I want to use it, this as a springboard to go to what Dr. C.I. Schofield called the Great Worship Chapter. John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and I'll read this scripture, and then I'll pray, and then I'll speak to you. The Bible says, "But the hour cometh," John 4, 23, "and now is when the true worshipers..." Folk, if there are true worshipers, there must be some false worshipers. "Shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." Isn't that wonderful? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We're familiar with that scripture. Let's pray today. Father, hide me behind the cross. I pray that only the Lord Jesus would be seen. I pray for Pastor and his illness and for Donna and her care with him. I pray for the other requests today that were mentioned among the folk here. special needs. And Father, each of our concerns are great to us, and they're great to Thee. And I pray for these ones as I would begin today, that You would, Father, meet the need, raise them up according to Your will. And we would just desire that You would heal bodies, heal completely according to Your will and plan, the pastor and the others. And yet we leave Your leading in Your hands. Father, help us to be yielded to Thee as best we can, sinners as we are in our day, the days that You allow. Forgive us when we fail. Now, Father, speak to us. If there are those here that need to be saved, that today would be the glad day that they would trust the Lord as Savior. And for believers in Christ, that if there are those things that need to be different, that You would speak to us. Whatever You're going to do, we'll thank You, and we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. True worshipers. Verse 23, and the Father seeketh such to worship Him. The Father is looking for people to worship Him in a true way. I like that. I mean, I could spend some time right there this morning, more time than I have. The Father is looking for some people who will worship Him in a true way. My message is largely prompted, that is, when I first brought this in my church, in regard to the new way that worship is done in some churches, and the way that we would recognize it would be the praise and worship teams. And you see, we don't have one of those in our church, and my, they have something we don't have. You know, when the other guy has something you don't have, it's like, well, I don't care if it's a lollipop. You just kind of want to know if that'd be good, see? I had a man come to our church, and we have a few microphones and some Bose speakers and some things, and it's just for the purpose of amplification in the auditorium, and it's for the purpose of the nursery, if mothers need to be there, and that's all it is. And we had a couple come several years ago, and this man, he saw those speakers and things, and folk, I'm not very electronic or anything like that. I hardly know from Bose to nose, you know, and I just kind of, a man came, a Christian man, and put that together. And so this man came, and his wife, and I went to visit him way down in the country, about 25 miles away. Kansas is a little more spread out than here, you know. And so I went down there, and I got there probably at 7:30 at night, and I can't imagine, but I was still visiting with that couple at 11:30 at night. Now that should have been my first clue, right? You know, that's just not what you do, Pastor. You don't visit someone for 3 hours, especially till 11:30 at night. I don't know why. We were having a good time talking about the things of the Lord, and I thought that they were looking for a church. And so I was getting about ready to leave, obviously, you know, so the man, he said, those speakers and that sound equipment, he said, what are you going to do with them? I said, we're kind of doing what we're going to do with them. We're some amplification and down in the nursery. And I tell you, it's just like shutting a switch off. The visit was over. He just almost mocked me because we didn't have the understanding as to what to do with that electronic equipment. And he said, I'm looking for a church where there's going to be some praise. And I'm looking for a church where they're going to use some of that for God's glory. And he said, I play like guitar and things, and I would like to, I kind of was hoping maybe we could set some of that up. Nothing wrong with the guitar, you understand. But this thing that's out there, folk, if it's right, our church and your church should have it, if it's right. But if it's wrong, we shouldn't have it. Yep. And so I began to be concerned about what in the world was making them tick. What was going on there? Pastor, you probably had that thought before. And I seriously, before the Lord, I felt very clearly it was not the right thing. The music itself showed itself. It's like rock and roll. It's like, I have no problem with an instrument, but it's worldly stuff, you know? I mean, so that right there told me not good, but I kind of wanted to know what was really going on there. And, you know, I would look to the Lord over the years and things, and I came across a passage that I'm going to turn to after a bit here. As I was studying the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 30, and Dr. C.I. Schofield in the Old Schofield Reference Bible, he has it labeled in any of those Bibles, the great worship chapter. And I looked at that. It took me a while to even follow what he was trying to say there. I want to take you there after a while. You may have seen it. But I thought, too, I wanted to see what the word worship meant. And then, obviously, to figure out the true worshipers, and the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, folks, if there can be true worship, we ought also want to do that. And if the Father is seeking someone to do that, we ought to be found in that position. Am I right? We should. So I looked up the word worship, and here's what I found. I found it means to kiss. Like a dog licking his master's hand. This is in the Strong's Concordance. To prostrate oneself in homage. To do reverence to adore. I thought, oh, I can't say in a message to kiss God. See, that I looked, there it was. There, that's what the root means. And then I thought, like a dog licking his master's hand. I can't say that in a message. Like, compare our worship to like a dog. The more I thought about it, I said, that is the word. That's why it's there. You know, the little doggy. What's worship? It's this adoration that is extensive, that is unending, that is without denial, without much thought. It's just spontaneous. The little dog. And after I brought that pastor, he has a little dog, and he was going somewhere. And the next morning, I brought this maybe Monday or something. And he said, my little dog was licking my hand. And folk, that gives us an insight to what worship is. And folk, what just the adoration, what would make someone adore the God of heaven like that? What would do it? Well, just quickly to John chapter 9, verse 38, it all has to do with being saved. You know, John chapter 9 and verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Folk, an unsaved person can't worship the Lord. Not Bible worship. And I began to fit in my mind what was going on there on that stage. What would make an individual want to adore the Lord unendingly like that little dog? What would make it so? John 9:38, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. It is a fact that we have been saved, and you have set this forth this morning, the joy of heaven, the joy of forgiveness of sin. The only thing that makes an individual adore the Lord to the extent that the definition describes is that I was lost and undone and hell bound, a sinner such as this dear man that's got taken so much abuse here in the back, that we're all the same.
Amen.
Wicked and vile. And we can prove that and know that by what we think after we're saved. I was saved when I was 12. I have sinned more since I was saved than before I was saved. Now that's just a terrible required statement. That just shows that we're just wicked, wicked, wicked sinners. But if we can be forgiven and redeemed, and our sins put as far as the east is from the west, and the Lord remembers it no more, and we're taken out of the darkness into this marvelous light, now that's the type of thing, and the only thing that there is that will cause us to adore the Lord, like the dog adoring the master. And so I begin to clearly put this together in my mind and to see what this was, and that began to tell me that some of what's going on in the stage is not that at all. And then I begin to realize that worship comes from the heart to the Father. It has very little to do with the stage. You don't drum up worship on the stage and put it into the pew. If it's not in the heart because of the forgiveness of sin, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him, it will never ascend to the Father. And so I begin to see that there's quite a bit wrong with that whole thing there. And actually, I don't know to what extent and how much, but a lot of it is not true worship at all. A lot of it's false worship. And it's a craze. It's put out there as the thing you need to do. And it's what you use your sound system for. And so it's like worship will now begin. And it starts, and I lead in it, and because I'm leading, you worship. That's not the definition at all. And folk, we worship the Lord as we think about the Lord, and we're thankful for him. And we do it spontaneously in a church, in the car, in the tractor, in the truck, on the lawn. As we realize what he's done for us, then we remember and we worship him. Let me see if I don't think that I wrote that one passage. Oh, it's where, turn now to Exodus. That's where it is. I have some notes in my Bible. I've been preaching long enough that I have quite a few notes in my Bible, and sometimes I don't remember where I put my notes, you know. Well, Exodus chapter 30. Amen. Exodus chapter 30. I don't know, some of you might have an old Schofield reference Bible. Folk, I realize that Dr. C.I. Schofield, in some of the center references, he has the oldest and best manuscripts amid this passage. I'm going to throw away the dispensational notes just because of that. He did not understand what he was talking about. And the oldest and best manuscripts, omitting a passage, has nothing to do with proper understanding of where we got our Bible. But I was studying this passage several years ago, and I saw the great worship chapter. That's what Dr. Schofield called this, the great worship chapter. And then, just to have you consider in this whole passage, hold your place there and go back to chapter 24 of Exodus. And I'll hurry along here. And I kidded the folk the other night as I almost had about three messages in one. And Pastor, when's the trap door? When's that take place?
Pretty soon.
I'll hurry. Okay. And There is a section here, and I understand that Exodus 24 is called the second installment of the law, beginning in Exodus 24, clear through Leviticus. And in Exodus 24 and verse 1, and he said unto Moses, "Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off." This section talks about worship. This whole section here. And so when you thumb through a little bit, you see the elders and the priests and Moses and Aaron, and it begins to talk about the priests, and it begins to talk in chapter 25 about the tabernacle and bringing gold and silver and fine linen and all the chapter 25 and verse 10 and the ark of shittim wood. And so here is a worship location, that is the place of congregational worship in this movable tabernacle. Verse 23 of chapter 25, the table of showbread. I'll just thumb through here. In chapter 26, the curtains. And if you have some reference Bibles, you see some of these headings. The ram skins dyed red. So here's all about the tabernacle and the bars and the sockets, all this passage about worship and all the different parts. We're coming together in a worship service, and there is a permanent building here that is not that much unlike the tabernacle, although that was Old Testament under the law, but preparations for worship and a place to go to worship together. Well, that's what this whole passage is about, the inner tabernacle and the brazen altar, chapter 27, and the hanging of the gates. You see it there. You've studied it. Chapter 27, verse 20, the oil for the lamp, this whole passage. And then chapter 28, the priesthood and the garments. Something to have us consider there, the caution of the garments that the priests were to wear is a pattern for how individuals need to prepare themselves even outwardly to worship, to meet God. It's a part of this thing is just come any old way you want to come, and we agree with that, but not quite. It's like, we're not going to a picnic here. We're worshiping the Lord. But you know, people go to funerals and weddings and all kinds of dress now. And I appreciate your attire today. There is something right, and you can see it among the priests in dressing to meet the Lord. You know, whatever it is, folk, there's a breakdown there, and it's not my purpose to go there. And it kind of goes with this praise and worship too. It kind of does. But the priests and how they were to dress, and a breastplate, and the Urim and the Thummim, and the ephod—it's all there. The holy crown, chapter 28. Chapter 29, the priesthood, the consecration of the priests, and the order of the high priests, and the order of the sacrifices, and the bullocks, all the way through. Let your eyes gaze all the way through. And the priesthood, the food for the priests. Verse 26 of chapter 29, the food for the priests, and how it all was to be. And then in the latter part of chapter 29, look at verse 42. In the latter part of that verse, there I will meet you. Amen. Verse 43, and there I will meet you. Amen. Verse 45, and I will dwell among the children. in verse 46 in the latter part, that I may dwell among them. God loves his children. He wants to hear from them in worship. He wants to meet with them. He wants to dwell with them. He wants us to come to him and allow him to meet with us so he can love us and talk to us and help us and encourage us. See, this whole passage, now we're into chapter 30. And look in chapter 30, verse 6, in the last words, where I will meet with thee. See? And look over in verse 36 of chapter 30. And it says in the latter part, where I will meet with thee, it shall be unto you most holy. And so, as I finished the message there in Paxton, I just felt like I was an imperfect man trying to embark upon the explanation of an awesome consideration, whereby we're forgiven from our sin when we don't deserve it, and then the Lord wants to meet with us, redeem people, and he wants us to worship him, adore him so automatic like that little doggy, and he wants to meet with us and love us. And as I finish that message, and even as I speak today, I kind of get the impression that the most I can bring to you from Scripture is like the tip of the iceberg to what this thing is really about. That's right. This is Creator God meeting with us, hell-deserving sinners, just like you were rejoicing in Sunday school. I enjoyed it. I appreciated it, Pastor. Man, he's singing up here. Yes, I know. I mean, but I tell you what now. That's called worship. And the only way you get there is when it really happened to you.
Amen.
And it only happens to you after you've been redeemed and convicted and saved, and right? And then after we're saved too. Why? We ought to have our head examined for sinning after we're saved.
That's right.
Like, what in the world are we thinking? From lust to greed, but it'll never end till heaven. That's a sad truth. And folk, you know, that's one of the reasons that we eventually get homesick for heaven, because we can't stop the operation of the flesh. And so pretty soon we conclude it would be far better to live over there than here. Now understand, we want to be here, and that's a good thing. Nothing wrong. The Lord has made all this for us and to enjoy, and he wants us to be here. Well, there I will meet with thee. So then, chapter 30. See, it's right there, and it's right there. In other words, it's these verses talk all about the priests of the tabernacle and how to do all this, and they were nomadic people, and they would move and set it up and take it down. But chapter 30 now is, in essence, the crux of the matter. What happens when you're there? And Dr. Schofield, he has the first heading about the incense. And folk, I'm not going to read all of the verses. You study it. But the incense is the sweet savor unto God, the prayer and meeting with the Lord, our worship to him. It is that, and they were to make it with the art of the apothecary, That sweet aroma going to the Father, worship. That thankful heart. That folk, as I even speak today, and as you contemplate your salvation, the forgiveness of your sin, that rejoicing that comes from your heart directly to God, having nothing to do with me now. The only thing is me before the Lord, myself, and you before the Lord individually, but all together. The great worship chapter identifies the incense, the aroma going to the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. And that is the first thing that is identified here in this chapter. And I want you to notice in verse 9, you shall offer no strange incense. See? No strange worship. Not okay. No false worship. No unsaved person trying to act like they're worshiping.
Yes.
Or nobody trying to put on somebody else, you're going to worship now. Because That's not what it is. And it doesn't work like that. And it will never work like that. See, I finally figured it out by the grace of God. It troubled me. Not that I was going to do it. But I thought, what is going on here? And folk, it's a craze. It's a craze in almost every church in this area.
That's right.
And it's like, if you don't do it, you ought to be doing it. And you're out of tune. And get rid of the speakers if you're not going to use them for some value. You see? When, in reality, they're missing the whole point. The whole point. Now, I'm not saying some of them may be saved. I don't know. God knows their heart. And they may worship some in the real way. But a whole bunch of it is not true worship at all. And folk, whenever I saw this chapter and I saw what Dr. Scofield wrote, and I looked at this and I couldn't even figure out. It was so far beyond my understanding that I didn't get what he was trying to say. I had to really work at this. And then he says in verse 11 to 16, who may worship? And that was beginning to help my thought, who may worship? Not everybody may worship a holy God and God be okay with it. Who may worship? And he identified the redeemed. And in this passage, it says in verse 12, when thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, numberest them, numberest them. Verse 14, that are numbered. And then it talks in this passage, shall give an offering unto the Lord, the latter part of verse 14. And then it talks about to make an atonement for your souls. And the latter part of verse 16, to make an atonement for your souls. It's those Israelites that were numbered that had their souls atoned for.
Amen.
The redeemed.
Amen.
They had to be numbered. Is your name in the Lamb's book of life? Are you numbered in that book? That's a New Testament application. You know? Got to be numbered. You know, there was numbering in the Old Testament. Who may worship? The numbered. The redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You see, the numbered may worship. And they're the only ones that can worship. Nobody else can worship. Try as they may. Nothing to worship about. Not the creator of the universe. Not for the forgiveness. Are you following me? It's so simple. But it blew over me a long time. And I was trying to figure this out. See? Now, folk, I want to tell you, I'm sure I don't have this all figured out. But somewhere with the scripture, we're in the ballpark here. That's what I believe. See? I think it's beyond my limited understanding. But how do we get in the ballpark? Not because of what but from the Bible.
Amen.
I just think that I don't understand all that's here. But I understand a little bit. Well, the word atonement, you know, some say it onement. Technically, it's the means by which sin is forgiven. It's the means by which sin is forgiven. How is it going to ever happen that my sin can be forgiven? Atonement, the means by which sin is forgiven. God loved us, sent Jesus to die for us, who was holy and perfect and sinless, and lived that kind of a life, born of a virgin, died and shed his blood, the means by which sin, how is it possible that sin can be forgiven? Atonement. That's in this passage. The numbered that had their sins atoned. They're forgiven. Jesus' blood. There's a man by the name of John MacArthur. You know of him? He is greatly accepted, but he has never recanted from, it's not the blood, it's the death. That makes my blood boil.
That's right.
Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And I don't know how far, I don't know how he got so far in acceptance in the Christian world. And he goes on and on. I have a tiny church. He has a big church. If success shows that I'm nothing, he's everything.
Yeah. Boy.
But there are people, there was a man in my church, man, he got all mad at me. And I won't even go there. And I was trying to point that out. And he came to my house and rebuked me for 3 hours. And now I'm serious. Didn't even come to my church. And he said, Steve, I feel I need to rebuke you. And oh, you know, you deal with a lot of things, don't you? Right? But folk, so who may worship? The numbered, the ones who had their souls atoned for, the means by which sin is forgiven. You know, if you're going to wash your car, there's a means by which you wash your car. I mean, you get the bucket, you get the soap, you get the brush, or another means by which you wash your car is you go to the car wash and you put in 6 quarters, and there would be another means you could go and somebody could wash it for you. There's a means, there's several means by which you wash your car, but there's only one means by which you have your sin forgiven. And the thing of it is, when I sin, my sin is ever before me, and when I ask the Lord to be my Savior and forgive my sin, even as a Christian, I forget those, and this means is an eternal means, and it works. It'll give you peace. You can literally have forgiveness of sin, am I right? And know it in your heart. That's the means by which sin is forgiven. And whenever my sin is forgiven, that's what causes me to rejoice in that means. And when I rejoice in that means, I rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father and the whole concept and the shed blood and all. And folk, it is an unending worship. And it's spontaneous from the heart to God of each one. Well, it doesn't end there. Who may worship? The cleansed. The laver. Verse 18, thou shalt make a laver. And Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. Verse 21, so shall they wash their hands and their feet. Their hands for what they did, someone has said, and their feet for where they had been. Daily cleansing. I don't want to worship so much, even as a Christian, if I'm not cleansed. I can have that wonderful truth, be saved and born again, but if I'm not cleansed, my hands for what I've done, and I have done some things, and my feet for where I've been, and I've been some places I've not been. And in life, that's just how it is. That's what happens. And so as we come before the Lord to worship, not only are we saved, but we need to be cleansed. You know, as we come to church, if pastor's heart is right, that's only one component. It does need to be right in order for him to preach and minister in mine. But the obligation is upon each of us so that we have a cleansed heart. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Your heart can be wonderful, but if mine's not, I've changed the dynamics here spiritually considerably. Am I right?
Yes.
So if you and I come with right hearts, a daily time of prayer and a daily time in the Word of God, walking with the Lord, realizing that we're meeting with God here, and it's the pastor's responsibility and the special speaker's responsibility to come with the right heart, but it is your responsibility too, because what we're doing is eternal here. And it's great and it's wonderful. And it's part of the joy of being saved in this life. It would be the center of being saved in this life, the joy in the heart. And so the labor, the priest had to be clean. And see, this is there's types here. Verse 22 and 4, you may worship the anointed. And there was the olive oil. Verse 25, after the art of the apothecary, they would make it, see? It is an holy anointing, a type of the Holy Spirit. Anoint the tabernacle, anoint Aaron. Anoint the tabernacle, verse 26, anoint Aaron in verse 30. And the anointing oil throughout your generations, folk, without the Holy Spirit. having free course in our life, we won't worship. Schofield says this is a great worship chapter. When I finally saw it a little bit, I said, oh my. See, I kind of thought, well, you know, the priests and the tabernacle and the ram skins dyed red and everything. But it's like I put the emphasis on the outward and I missed chapter 30. Because I didn't understand what was being said here. And folk, if my heart's not right, and if I'm not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to have free course in my life, I'm not going to worship either. See? Now it almost gets better. It almost gets better. Because in the last verses, in verse 34, there are these spices that are put together. And they would make a perfume, verse 35, 34 and 35. A confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Thou shalt meet, verse 36, some very small, and testimony of the tabernacle congregation, where I will meet with thee. See? That's what this is all about. It shall be unto you most holy. And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, ye shall not make to yourselves. It shall be unto thee for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereof shall even be cut off among his people. Folk, there's not one ounce of flesh that's okay in this whole process of worship. Amen. They were to make these ointments that had, I believe, a beautiful smell. But it was not for the smelling. It was to be for the worship. The typology was not so I can have a nice smell here. Because a person did it for the smell, they would be cut off. Dr. Schofield says it's not sensuous. Nothing about this worship is sensuous. And when I got to that, folk, there is so much sensuous about some of the praise and worship. You've seen it. So much fleshy. Even the gyrations of their body. The great worship chapter condemns the whole thing. Here it is. Now I want to look at this again. Because, like I say, it almost gets better. That is, what it really does, the Holy Spirit wrote this, he makes it complete. Got to be numbered. Got to be cleansed. Got to be anointed. And it's all for the Lord. Verse 36, I'll meet with you. 37, ye shall not make to yourselves this perfume, but it shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. Oh, cut off? The Holy Spirit is completely disapproving of smelling it yourself. It's not for you, this worship. It's not for us. It's for the Lord. There it says it. And folk, when you put those whole, that whole little pattern together, the great worship chapter, 99% of what's done under this new craze does not comply with this. And probably 100% of it. I found that. I says, you know, I'm just going to keep using our Bose speakers for the same reason. The Holy Spirit condemns fleshy worship. Now, let me say, I would suppose that some of the folk, you know, I'm not talking about any person here. I suppose some of them really are caught up into this and think that this is really great and wonderful. But you know, that's what we have the Bible for, to understand the fact of the matter, right? There's a lot of people that are pretty sincere and they're working their way to heaven and work. So it's not how sincere, it's not how nice we are, it's what does the Bible say? And I know you believe that. I want to encourage you, pastor, in this church to just keep doing church the same Bible way. And I encourage you to keep coming and supporting the same Bible way. Bob Jones University has changed an awful lot. Bob Jones Sr. was kind of the old style. He was a hunter from, was it Tennessee or Georgia? Where did it start? It wasn't Greenville, South Carolina.
Well, it started in Florida originally, then it moved to Tennessee.
Pastor Bob Vickroy told me that when he, now Bob is 74 years old, so that puts him quite a long time when he was in school there as a preacher boy. Bob Jones, the senior, he told the preacher boys, you just keep shooting in the same hole. See, now there's an old hunter. That's not sophisticated, right? See? But he said, you just keep shooting in the same hole. That's where the rabbits are. That's where people are in their sin. We don't have to come up with a new way to worship that violates the Word of God and a new way of doing this. We just need to keep shooting in the same hole like that man does right there. Am I right? And I rejoice to see all of you folk who are interested to come and be a part of a ministry that's shooting in the same hole. And you know what? Say, well, okay, we will. It sure is boring. It sure is boring. Oh, Pastor Freeman, he's just shooting in the same hole. We saw the same hole. Excuse me? Boring. Forgiveness of my sin? I was on my way to hell and now I'm forgiven? And in a split second I die, I'll be in glory? What is boring? There's nothing boring about that.
Amen.
We just have to understand what the facts really are here.
Yes.
What we're really talking about. And folks, it's all about our sin. And I'll stop here. I'll be finished. But it's all about our sin. That's what all the wonderful songs are about. That's what all of you folk were talking about this morning. That's what the songs that Ralph was leading is all about, our sin and being forgiven. So folk, what's really boring is trying to promote worship in the flesh.
That's right.
Now that's what's boring.
That's boring.
You know? So how are we going to get more people to see this? Well, we just need to, number one, keep shooting in the same hole. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that builds a church. The Lord added daily such as should be saved. When I went to my church, there was no people, and it had dwindled to none. And then in about 3 years, we had about 60 people. That was a church that Steve G built. I thought, man, we're doing pretty good. I'm going to get my name on this steeple. You know? And then, like one man said, we never had a split since I've been there. We had a mighty big splinter. We went down to 15 people. We're in the country. And on a good day, we might get 30 folk. On a normal day, maybe 18 or 20. But I'll get out of the ministry before I start shooting in some other hole.
Amen, brother. Keep
going. See? And we'll just leave it with the Lord. Well, you know what I think? I think I just touched the tip of the iceberg in that passage. Because it's an eternal truth. I trust maybe there's a little bit there for you. I would encourage you. Encourage you to be a part of this work. Encourage you to be a part of this man's ministry. And the ministry that all of you together have.
Yes.
And be encouraged to say, ah, praise the Lord. We are on the right track. You knew you were anyway. But maybe this will just bolster you a little bit to say, yes, we're not sort of on the right track. We are on God's side. And we're on the winning side. And all we have to do is to keep yielding to the Lord day by day. We're just imperfect people trying to serve a perfect Savior. Heaven will be next. But just keep doing it.
Amen.
Heads bowed and eyes closed, and I'll be very brief. Just brief. If there's a need that needs to be different today in your heart, would you make that known to the Lord? If you're here, you're not sure you're saved, you could right now just ask the Lord to be your Savior. Pastor will come and he can help in however he feels led of the Lord to do it, but you could pray and ask the Lord to be your Savior. If you're here as a believer and the Spirit of God has tugged at your heart and things need to be different, just spend a little time and just make it right with the Lord and thank the Lord. You know, if everything is okay today, just rejoice in the Lord that God's led you all this way. I'm not a preacher that thinks every time I preach there's something wrong with everybody. How about if we walk with the Lord, there's something right about a lot of people. And if all is well, just say, Lord, thank you. Father, use this time and your word for your glory in this ministry, in this town. Bless these dear folk, Pastor Gary, his health, and his ministry, and their ministry together. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Sing two songs here. Brethren, we have met for sharing. This thing is very early in this book. 93 in this book.
I just like you. I just like you.
Amen. Amen.
I just like you. Don't you love the Lord?
Yeah.
Well, take your handbooks. Letter E, in the back. Say, what's the matter? Okay.